Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
You know, that's an interesting scenario that you just painted. And, you know, I see on the RamosLaw.com text line, please explain why you think it's more empty seats than reported. Why would they lie? Aren't they just reporting the stats? Perception matters. That's just a fact of the matter, that perception matters. The difference between saying that 9,000 people didn't show up and 11,000 people didn't show up actually matters to the people who are representing this organization. And it should. I'm not saying it shouldn't.
Right, absolutely. I mean, who can tell the difference between 10,000 no-shows and 15,000 no-shows or 9,100 no-shows or 15,000? You can't. So what would you rather say? I'd say, hey, let's go on the low end. Let's just say 9.
Yep.
We can tell there's some, but you're exactly right. Perception. It's all about perception. So I would do the exact same thing.
Because if you say, hey, we had 11,000 no-shows, now you start, hey, 11,000 no-shows, when's the last time that happened? Oh, it happened when Josh McDaniels was going to get fired and people stopped showing up.
Yep.
And you said, who can tell the difference between 9,000 and 13,000 or whatever you said? The people who can normally tell are the people who are there every single Sunday for many, many, many years. And those are the people who have said, 9,000, probably a little light. Probably a little light. And it's just an observation. It's not an indictment. But the Broncos are one of the most supported teams in all of football.
Yep.
All of football. There's like the you cannot put another fan base above this fan base. Now, you can put them side by side with the folks in Lambeau and, you know, the diehards in Kansas City and things like that. But you can't put anyone above the Broncos. So from a perception standpoint, that's why it matters. It may not matter to you, but it matters to the Broncos. And like I said, I'm not saying that it shouldn't. It's just the reality. And it's actually common practice, you know, for the most part. This is not the only place that's done.
Absolutely. Everybody. You want to err on the low side and shave a few thousand off if you can.
Right. Right. That's just the reality. your gut feeling going into tomorrow night.
That's just right to the point here, huh?
What is your level of optimism?
Look, I go back to, you know, looking at both these teams and looking at the players and dissecting it that way and saying, you know, the Broncos are a much better team than the Arizona Cardinals. They are. They're more talented. They're a better group. They don't have a rookie quarterback starting. They got depth at the wide receiver position. They can run the football. They got a dynamic duo. They got pass rushers that should get after the Arizona Cardinals and their bad offensive line, and they should confuse Josh Rosen. All right? But then, you know what I do? I slap myself in the face.
Ooh,
wake up.
Jeez.
Wake up. Wake up. You've been fooled too many times by this Denver Broncos team the last couple years. I have. Going to play the Buffalo Bills. Oh, man. Broncos are rolling right now. They're going to take care of the Buffalo Bills. Oh, no. They lose. This year, who are they playing? A bad New York Jets team with a rookie quarterback that they should go in there a week after should have beaten the great Kansas City Chiefs. You're playing pretty good football for the most part. Your season's still in front of you, and you lay a goose egg. I mean, you don't even show up. And who did I pick in that game? I picked the Denver Broncos. You fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You fool me three times, shame on you and me. I'm not going to be fooled three times. You decipher. You figure that out.
You decipher.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Do that. Figure it out.
You know,
you figure it out. I can't let it happen again. That's what I'm talking about. I just can't, Zach. Everything is telling me to pick the Denver Broncos in this situation. It really is. Everything. They are a better football team. They need to win this game. But I've seen it too many times to where I say, okay, I know it's on the road. It's a short week, and I overlook all of those things. It's against a rookie quarter, and I just block. I just put my blinders on, and I just overlook all of those things, and it comes back to bite me. I'm not going to do that this game. I'm picking the Arizona Cardinals.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. You think I said all that to tell you, like, oh, no, I'm picking the Denver Broncos? I didn't go in that spill and tell you to decipher what I was saying to figure it out and mispronounce words to tell you I was picking the Denver Broncos. I'm not going to be fooled by the Denver Broncos again. I just can't trust them. I can't trust them. When you get burned over and over again, how can you trust them? I can't trust this football team
Wow.
the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a short week. I'm not going to ignore those things. A short week, you're playing a rookie quarterback. You're playing a team that you should beat, but you just haven't been able to figure out a way to win these football games on the road. I'm not going to take you. Just not.
Mm.
Prove me wrong, please.
They have officially lost your trust.
Yes. In these situations.
Where you should beat the Bills. You should beat the Dolphins. You should beat the Jets.
Yes.
Nope, nope, nope.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, unfortunately, I'm not going to give you too much pushback. I'm not. Because how many times are you going to touch the stove? You know, how many times are you going to touch the hot stove? You know, and I've been burned. Sometimes I have felt good about me picking the Broncos. I'm going to pick the Broncos eventually, right, when we get to our picks. I'm not picking them to lose. But at the same time, I'm sort of just, you know what it's turned in? I'm hoping that they figure it out.
Yeah, it's,
hope shouldn't be a substance of optimism.
And I want to be wrong. I want to come in here and say, thank you. Now I can trust you again in these situations, right? But I'm not going to be that foolish. I'm not the smartest guy, okay? But I've been burned too many times. I'm not going to keep continuing to make these picks and pick the Denver Broncos in these situations and ignore the facts.
Yeah.
They're not a very good football team. They don't play well on the road.
Well, if you lose this football game, I think the focus of the season totally shifts. Totally shifts. You ever see one of those train tracks where it's just a little alteration? And now you're on a different track.
Yeah. Yep. Just
right. Tomorrow night by midnight, if the Broncos are 2-5, one of those little railroad hitches goes, and we change course because it's no longer about the finish line this season. It's not.
But the same can be said if it goes with a win. Right? Now you're 3-4. You're feeling good about yourself. You got a win. You got an extra bye week, a mini bye coming up. And the narrative has totally changed. You know? It's a week-by-week league. And I'm not worried about who's out there the following week. It is Kansas City at Kansas City. But we hung with them here at home. So this team can go out there and do the same in Kansas City. They can make that a ball game, but you need to get your confidence up. You need to find a way to win this football game because what it could do between a loss and a win, I mean, it could do the same thing for a win as it could do for a loss. It could get this thing going back in the right direction and give this team a chance to salvage a season because it's still salvageable.
That's
the thing. It's still salvageable. I know they've lost 4 in a row, but things can change quickly in the NFL. This season is still salvageable, but you got to win this game. If you don't win it, it is a wrap.
You know what they call this?
Must win. No?
A tipping point.
Oh.
We're tipping one way or the other here.
Do they call it a must win too?
They didn't call it a must win. We're going to beat their ass.
Oh!
And put it up there. And put it up there.
I like it.
So we were wondering what was next for your guy, Peyton Manning. Did we get our first clue?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.
We were wondering what was next for Peyton Manning. Well, at least I was.
I already knew.
Yeah, I'm sure. But did we get our first clue? I think this is the coolest thing right now. That Peyton Manning will be joining Kobe Bryant's show Detail, which I literally got ESPN Plus and keep it to watch Kobe's Detail. Really good show. As his program is going to expand from just NBA basketball to NFL analysis this fall. Kobe won an Academy Award for his animated short film, Dear Basketball, which breaks down the NBA for the show. It appears on ESPN Plus, as I mentioned. And he will return later, Kobe will, this season for a second series of the show. But Peyton will host, write, and share insights for the football version of Detail, which will be then edited by NFL Films. It'll be an 8-episode series that will also appear exclusively on ESPN Plus. Really, really, really cool thing for Peyton.
Yeah, it is. I've seen it. It's good. Takes you behind the scene. He does a good job. The first one is on Josh Rosen. I got to see it.
How about
I watched
that?
It. Last night.
What are the chances?
So it's pretty cool to watch the guy that you're about to play here on Thursday and kind of, you know, he takes you behind the scenes there and breaks down some of his plays and some of the good ones, some of the bad ones against the Minnesota Vikings. And it is. It's really cool. Even for, you know, a guy like me who I feel like I know a lot of football, I still like hearing from Peyton Manning when it comes to the quarterback, what this guy's looking for, what are his thoughts on these guys. So it's really a cool thing that he's doing, and it's really takes you behind the scenes. And who else would you rather, you know, break down a quarterback in an offense than Peyton Manning? It really is good.
And the structure of the show is really like the nitty-gritty type stuff. It's very detail-oriented.
Right.
And that's how Kobe was as a player. That's how Peyton, we know to the nth degree, was as a player. When does this become public? It's coming out soon, right? Or is it already out?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow. It airs.
Really cool. So you've already seen it. You're privy to that kind of access. You think most people, they watch it, will get a gigantic kick out of it?
I think so. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is. I mean, I like it because, like I said, I love football. I love going behind the scenes. I love hearing from people that know what they're talking about and breaking down different things. And especially when it comes to these young quarterbacks or anything offensively. But when you're talking about these young quarterbacks, I like to, you know, because I don't get to watch Josh Rosen every single week.
Right.
And then Sam Darnold every single week, or Baker Mayfield. So when you have somebody that is going to bring you behind the scenes and is going to highlight some of the good, some of the bad, and what they're doing, or maybe all of the bad or all of the good, whatever it is, right? And be able to talk you through why he's doing what he's doing or what he should be doing in these situations, then I think that's really cool. And that's what he did with Josh Rosen.
I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to watch. And you're right. The first episode will air tomorrow. And we'll break down the Cardinals quarterback, Josh Rosen, as you said, his game against the Vikings.
Last week.
On October 14th. Yep, just from a week ago.
Yep.
So that's awesome.
Did I just tell you everything he said? Just save you some time from watching it?
Can you give me your biggest takeaway of something that he said? Maybe about young quarterbacks?
Take a profit.
Take a profit?
Take a profit. If it's there, take it. You know, don't, if it's there, just go, just take it. Just take it. Take that profit. You never go broke taking a profit.
I like that.
Okay. And that's the truth. And I've heard that from him, before. And that's kind of my, I relay that message to the quarterbacks or, you know, when I'm helping those guys out, like, hey, if you see it, boom, take it. Let's move on. Take it and move on.
Don't wait.
Yeah, don't wait for the other one. Unless you have a, sometimes you got a shot play dialed up for a certain reason. You get the right coverage. Yeah, you wait for it. But for the most part, if a guy's there, take it and move on. But young quarterbacks, what do? They see that guy. No, I don't want to throw that 3-yard, 4-yard pass. I want to wait for that corner route to come open. And the next thing you know, you get sacked. Or the guy's not open. And then now the flat route that you passed on is not open anymore.
Could Case Keenum do a better job at that? Just taking a profit?
Absolutely. I think a lot of quarterbacks could. Not just rookie quarterbacks, but a lot of quarterbacks. You know, and I think that's part of the issue here. When you look at Case Keenum, he's trying to do too much, like Trevor Siemian, you know, because that's not the starting quarterback throw, right? That's not the franchise quarterback throw, but it is.
Yeah.
But in those guys' minds, they have to prove that, you know what, I should be the starting quarterback, so you know what, I'm going to wait for that post route to come open. I'm gonna try to fit this throw in this tight window. I'm going to make this throw and make this play right here. I'm not going to just take this 5-yard completion. I got to prove that I am a starting quarterback in the NFL, that I'm worthy of this contract, that I should be around here for a lot longer. So now I'm doing things a little bit different than I did before. I'm not taking that throw anymore. And you kind of get a little bit out of whack with your fundamentals and your thought process. And then what happens when things start going bad and in the wrong direction? You start pressing and you start trying to do too much. And that's part of it.
You know, Peyton is in such a unique position in his life right now for the first time where he just gets to kind of pick and choose the things that he wants to do. And he's chosen to talk ball because he's getting a kick out of this, I'm sure.
He wouldn't do it.
Right. They couldn't offer him amount of money that would make him do something he doesn't want to do. This is what he wants to be doing. I wonder if this is a sneak peek at what's to come and say, 8 or 9 years, 5 years, 3, I don't know.
Right.
You know, of what scratches his itch?
That's a good question. Well, you know, yeah.
Just a little clue, maybe. I don't know. A little hint. He likes being around the game still. That's obvious.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No doubt about that. I look at it when I watch the show and what it really, you know, taught me, and I already knew this, but it kind of reinforced it. It's hard to play quarterback in the NFL. And if you watch this show, you'll realize that how hard it is to play quarterback in the NFL. And what defenses, that's what I really loved. I love watching the Minnesota Vikings defense and watching the different things that they were doing to Josh Rosen to try to confuse him. And Mike Zimmer, you know, we talked about Mike Zimmer. I mean, this guy has been around the NFL forever. Under Bill Parcells, he's been a defensive coach. That's what he is. He's a defensive coach. And the things that he can dial up to confuse a young quarterback, that's what he did. And it just really told me, like, wow, it is really hard to play quarterback in the NFL. That's why these guys get paid so much money. That's why it's so hard to find these guys. It is a hard thing to do.
Even if you know what you're looking for, it's still hard to identify it.
Yep.
Like we've experienced here. By the way, Detail is going to have a UFC edition to this as well.
Oh, wow.
You're going to have a UFC guy in hyper detail, breaking down.
Hope he breaks down Khabib and McGregor.
That's it. That'd be a good jump off point. I'll tell you that. All right, it's that time of day. You ready to rock?
You know it.
Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
This is it, Zach. Last chance, Case Keenum. It's time to get it figured out. It's time for a win. It's time to go on the road and beat a team that, you know what, you should flat out beat. You're better than the Arizona Cardinals. Everybody needs a win. Vance Joseph needs a win. Joe Woods needs a win. John Elway could sure use a win. Case Keenum needs to find a way to get this job done. Look, you are paid like a starting franchise quarterback in the NFL. You're getting paid a lot of money. You need to go out there and put this offense on your back and win this football game. Got to find a way. The season is at its breaking point right here. You're going to go one or two ways. A win, you could get this thing back on track. A loss, it's over. It's a wrap. This is where the special quarterbacks stand out. It's time for Case Keenum to make a stand and to find a way to get this win. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about! You know, you never want to equate something as big as the Super Bowl for week seven. So I don't know what type of bowl you would put in front of it. I don't want to say toilet bowl, and I know some folks have done that. But whatever bowl this is, it's a win or nothing. You know, it is a must win. And sometimes people get irritated of that. You know, look like, you know, Vaughn yesterday's asked about a must win. I don't know if it's a must win, but we got to kick their ass. Call it what you want. Call it a regular season Super Bowl. Make it a toilet bowl. Call it a must win. You got to figure out a way to win it. Because who's on the plane coming home if you lose could be a heck of a lot different.
You might leave a few people behind.
Be a little bit lighter.
Yeah. And that's the facts. Unfortunately, that's where you're at right now. In this early part of the season, which I don't think, you know, some people were expecting it. I wasn't expecting it this early to be here. I thought this football team would be 3-3. And if you're 3-3, then I don't think we're having this type of conversation.
Definitely not.
About, you know, firing people and jobs are on the line with Vance Joseph. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And you're talking about Vance. You're talking about Joe Woods. You're talking about Bill Musgrave. And you're talking about Case Keenum. All four of them. Because when you look at an organization and a football team, if you're not getting the job done, those are the guys that you've got to change and you got to make moves.
And as it relates to Case Keenum, it goes without saying, Vance is going to get canned if they lose tomorrow night. Joe Woods will probably be shown the door, you know, depending on what it looks like. And that's really the context to it. What does it actually look like in addition to the win or the loss? But with Case, it's a tricky one because he's not the fundamental reason why the Broncos are on a four-game losing streak, but he is a part of it. And I remember you saying last year when you're looking for a spark, you're not going to replace your left tackle to look for a spark. You're not going to change safeties to look for a spark. You're not going to say, hey, Matt Paradis, you know what? You've been doing – you've been just okay, but – we're going to swap you out for Connor McGovern because we need a spark at center. The changes are going to be made with the people who are most responsible, who you need the most, your coaches and your quarterback.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of the National Football League.
That's what's going to happen. That's what has to happen. If you're trying to get this thing fixed and turned around, those are the dominoes to fall. And if the coaches stay, then they need to make a move at the quarterback spot. Vance needs to make that decision and make it quicker than what we saw last year. Case Keenum's getting paid a lot of money. Not the highest paid member of this football team, but he is getting paid a lot of money to come in here and do the job at a higher level than what he's doing it at. And that's, you know, the bottom line. Is he a franchise quarterback? Is he this? Is he that? Probably not. No. But he's getting paid a lot of money to go out there and perform a lot better than what he's performing at.
What is it, $18 million?
Right around there, yeah. Mm. This year, 25 guaranteed overall.
Yep. Yeah,
right around 18, I believe, this year, something like that. So, look, I mean, that's not chump change. I know that's kind of around the market area for a starting quarterback, but, man, you got to perform better than what he's been performing at. Just not seeing the football field, throwing footballs to places that has me scratching my head, taking a drop out of the shotgun and ending 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage on a fourth down and three. Just things, little things like that. Just can't do it. You know, and I was watching the Green Bay Packers 49ers game, and you saw Aaron Rodgers in one play where he retreated, and I was watching. I said, well, I want to see how far he was away from the line of scrimmage. So we wound it, and he ended up being about 8.5-9 yards, but he was retreating as he threw the ball. Case wasn't retreating. He took his drop.
That's just where he was.
Yes. Can't be. That's way too deep. Who can protect when a quarterback's 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Not much anyone, but not our fellas.
Exactly. So he's got to play better. I mean, that's the bottom line. We need more from Case Keenum. We need more from him. Okay? We need him to look like the guy that we've seen in the fourth quarter in some of these games, where all of a sudden this team's going up and down the field. Where's that for the first three quarters? I don't need to see that when we're down by 17 points. It doesn't do anything for me. This offense has got to do better. Bill Musgrave has got to do better. You know, we talked about it. We highlighted that play where Case was 10 yards deep on that 4th-and-3 this last week, which Vance went for, and I love that. Let's try to win a football game, right? We got our backs against the wall. We're not supposed to win. Let's go for it. Great. I love that decision to go for it in that situation. Well, you know, Bill Musgrave sent everybody deep. And Hireman dragging across the field on the shallow route, 4 or 5 yards, and he's stumbling and fumbling all over the place, looking like me my rookie year when Brian Billick cussed me up and down when I fell on my face, the turf monster. And then you got your three receivers going on deep routes.
What was going on there? I saw this play broken down on Twitter in slow-mo, and I'm just trying to understand what I'm looking at. And what, I mean, try to help me here. As a guy who played 15 years in the NFL, what could be, not what was the rationale, because I don't see much of one. What could have been the rationale there?
I don't know, Zach. I wish I could say he did it because of this, did it because of that. But when you see a clear out route, I think you had a deep end cut, and I don't even know what the other guy was doing. But just way too much time holding on to the football. I don't care what coverage they're playing against that front of the Rams, and you're gonna be 10 yards deep. You're gonna take that big of a drop, and you're running a play like you had a third down and 20, not a 4th-and-3. You don't run that type of play on 4th-and-3. I don't know what they were doing. I don't. I confused, bewildered, befuddled. All of those things.
Bewildered.
Yes. I mean, the only option, yeah, you had the end cut coming in, but that takes a while to develop.
Right.
I don't want to be holding the ball that long on a 4th-and-3. You had a short route coming from Hireman, but all he was dragging across the field. Usually on a play like that, you're going to see man-to-man usually, okay? So if you're going to have your tight end going from the right to the left, you're going to want to have maybe like a little rub route, a pick route, okay? I mean, you remember the Super Bowl? The Philadelphia Eagles went for it on fourth down. They had a little pick route, a little rub route.
Sure.
Ertz made a nice catch,
yeah.
but the Patriots actually did a nice job. Ertz made a nice catch, and they got the first down regardless. But usually you want to try to have some kind of rub, pick route, something like that happening on that type of play. You don't want to have your quarterback holding the ball with your three best receivers all going down the football field deep. I want Emmanuel Sanders running a little option route.
Right.
Give me a little 4 to 5 yard option route where he can do a bunch of different things. So I can't answer that question for you, Zach. And I tried. But so, you know, that brings, I mean, Bill Musgrave has to be better.
Sure.
And I loved what I saw early from this offense and his creativity. But since then, I haven't seen anything. It's gone backwards.
Well, for me, I'm taking the magnifying glass and I'm removing it from Joe Woods, not permanently.
Oh.
Because Joe Woods, has got some explaining to do with the run defense. And we know that to be true. But not a lot of people are talking about the opportunities lost with Bill Musgrave. And I think because the numbers are so loud on the one side with Joe Woods, it's easier. It's an easier target. But I'm looking at this offense. I'm looking at this offense and saying, you can't score more than 20 points in 4 of the 6 weeks of the season. That's unacceptable. You went 6 straight quarters and scored 19 points. That's unacceptable. You have the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Case Keenum plays 30% points higher in a rating when he does play action, but you use it the fifth least. Stuff like that. I am taking the magnifying glass and I'm putting it over Billy Moose. See what you can cook up tomorrow night. Because if the clock hits zero tomorrow night, and I don't care if the Broncos win 17-10, 13-7, don't care, but you got to find a way to put the football in the red zone. And I know that's on Case too. He's got to figure that out. But Bill Musgrave has gone through this thing sort of unscathed.
Yeah.
And I think that stops.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. And I think why more of the spotlight has been on Joe Woods, obviously the 200-yard games that we've seen, this rushing attack, but it's because of you look at his personnel.
Yeah.
You look at the expectations coming into the year. My expectations were, okay, this offense is going to take a little time. They might start slow, but this defense is going to flat out be great. They got a chance to be special. Not special, special like the Super Bowl year, but they got a chance to be special group. Like, that's my expectations. That's just being real about it. And then you watch them play, and it's like, what is going on? So expectations and production is why the spotlight has shined greater on Joe Woods than Bill Musgrave. But you brought up great points. This has been a great rushing attack, which has been a pleasant surprise. But what have you done with that? Have you capitalized on that? Have you used that? Have you taken advantage of that? Being able to run the football successfully?
Not really.
No, you haven't. Not at all. I mean, you can't even score 20 points in a game. It's not even good enough. It's not close to being good enough offensively. But defensively, why it's been more of the spotlight on Joe Woods is because the expectations were so much greater for the defense and the offense.
Within an hour after Vaughn's comments yesterday, it was number one nationally trending wide. This is what it sounded like.
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick their ass, though. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick their ass. They're going to get our best this week. I know last week was tough, the week before that, whatever. This week, Thursday night, prom time, they're going to get the Broncos' best.
Do you think that, and I'm asking you to guess here or speculate, do you think that that's Vaughn coming from Vaughn? Or do you think that's Vaughn with someone else, maybe Vance Joseph, saying, hey, pal, you're the captain of this team. I need you to rally the troops because it's do or die.
I would say that if I had to guess that somebody put that in his ear and somebody wanted him to send that message to the football team. Not sure who that is. You know, was it Vance? Was it John Elway? Was it Joe Woods? You know, I do. I think that there was a purpose there, and that was a message from somebody above. Hey, Vaughn, let's take this approach this week.
Sure.
What do you think about doing this? You up for that? You know, we need something to rally the guys, to get these guys going and to show confidence in them. We need you right here as one of our captains to do this for us. You good with doing that? I think it was probably came from, you know, if I had to guess, probably Vance or John.
My gut tells me the same, but Vaughn's name's next to it. And now Vaughn has to go out and fulfill the projection. If you tell someone and you say, I want you to put this up there,
yep,
we're going to whoop your ass, and you can't leave your fingerprints on the football game, I'm going to feel a little bit like Nolan Arenado saying, I want to play in big games. I don't want to play in as many playoff games as Todd Helton. And then when they need you most, you can't come through. Now, Vaughn's in a different category than Nolan, although both of them will end up in their respective Hall of Fame. Vaughn has came up in the biggest moments, Super Bowl 50, MVP. It'll never be taken away from him. But we still need you. This ain't a lifetime achievement award. We still need you, like right now, like tomorrow night. And now that we got the tough talking to a 1-5 football team, I need you to go wreck the football game. And defensively, let me say this since we're here. I want the defense to ruin a game. We've seen them be terrific. We saw them sack Jared Goff 5 times, okay? And that was one of the better, if not the best, defensive performance of the season despite being in a loss. But we haven't seen the defense actually destroy a game yet. And you do have an opportunity, albeit on a short week on the road, but it's a rookie quarterback and it's a 1-5 club. Let's see if we can get a couple interceptions.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get a couple strip sacks. See if we can get a pick six. That's my challenge for that side of the ball tomorrow
absolutely
night.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about Vaughn making that statement. Yeah, it's time to show up. You got to show out. You got to make some big plays. You can't be non-existent. And, oh, by the way, you're not playing, you know, against Tyrone Smith of the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
This is not a good offensive line.
Right.
Okay. So if you go out there and put up a donut and your team loses to the Arizona Cardinals in this offense with a rookie quarterback and an awful offensive line, a team that can't do anything, they make the Broncos offense look like the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Wow. And this is a bad group.
And it's all on national TV, by the way.
That's right.
The world is watching.
And you know those announcers will be talking about what Vaughn said.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be bringing it up a lot.
Yep.
So, you know what? You got to back those words up now. And I don't mind him saying that. You know, I like that he said that. But now it's time to back him up.
That simple. That simple. So now just go do it. Everything's in place. You're going one of two directions. It's a tipping point of the NFL season for the Broncos. Got to find a way. I have some interesting comments here from Joe Ellis to Lindsey Jones. And we love Lindsey. Does a great job. And I don't know if this is from this is in Nikki Javala's article for The Athletic, another good friend of our show. It was in Nikki's article, but she took the comments from Lindsey Jones, okay? Talking about the no-shows, okay? For those who don't know, 9,131 no-shows to the Broncos game on Sunday against the Rams. Now, it was the second coldest game in Broncos history.
Right. Okay? I think that had a lot to do with it.
Okay, but here's the quote. This is Joe Ellis. I understand it. Between weather and performance, these things happen. This is at the NFL owner meetings in New York. Quote, we've got to figure out a way to stop talking about how we need to do things differently and actually do things differently. That's about as much of a verbal challenge as you're going to get from someone in Joe Ellis's position. You know, he's not going to call the run defense soft the way that John right. Elway can. But Joe Ellis is telling you, hey, the talk that we need to change it. Look, y'all have lost four games in a row. Figure it out. Done hearing about the talking. And he actually, that take is representative of Broncos country.
Yeah, you got to get it done or moves will be made. I mean, that's what it says to me. That if things don't change and we don't see actually results, then we're going to make changes. And you know they're not just going to sit on their hands. You just went 5-11 last year. 8-game losing streak. You're at a 4-game losing streak right now. You got to win this football game. I mean, that's the bottom line. You got to find a way to get a W, and if you do, you can get things back on track again and salvage a season. If you don't, a lot of changes will be made, and we'll see.
And if you can't win this game, one of the coolest phrases in all of sports, that the Broncos have appeared in more Super Bowls than they've had losing seasons since Mr. B bought this football team. That you haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since Richard Nixon was the sitting president in 1971 and 1972. If you lose this game, that phrase, two of the coolest in all of sports, evaporate. And our good friend Cecil Lammy texted us during the show, and he said, Mr. Bolin is going to the Hall of Fame. This is Mr. Bolin's baby here. The reason that the Broncos have been on this track is in large part due to his leadership and his button pushing and being at the helm of this franchise. In the year that he goes in, if this were to happen.
Yeah, that would be really disappointing because that's one of the coolest things that you'll hear. You know, more Super Bowls than losing seasons. That's awesome.
It's amazing.
It is. It's remarkable.
In this league, above any league?
Yeah, if you lose tomorrow night, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to say that anymore. You're just not. Because who are you going to be able to beat? Who are you going to be able to beat? Nobody on the road. Forget that. I mean, that's a wrap. I mean, you can still compete with some people at home, but it's not going to be enough to salvage an 8-8 season. You got to win tomorrow to keep that streak alive.
Real quick, what'd you think of Manny Machado last night?
Dirty. Flat out dirty. And old boy for Milwaukee. And I'm sure, you know, he's playing first base and he can't see exactly what happened. But after you watch that on film and you go back and he sees what's happened, I bet he wished he would have jacked him right in the jaw.
Mm.
Just straight cold cocked him. That's what he should have done. That was deliberate. He could have broken that guy's leg.
Yeah.
Snapped his ankle. I mean, that was so deliberate. It wasn't even, you know, you can't tell me that wasn't deliberate and wasn't dirty.
It's such an unnatural movement. He dragged his foot like he was DT in the back of the end zone, working on his toe tap.
That wasn't that good. It wasn't DT-esque, but
it's close. It was DT toe tap if he never learned it.
That's right.
If he was never tutored by Stoke. and those who didn't see it, I mean, I'm sure you saw it by now. Manny Machado's going up the first baseline and just drags his foot across first baseman Jesus Aguilar's leg. And I'll tell you what. If I know anything about sports, baseball, this is going to come back around to Manny.
Right. And that's the thing here is, you know, you don't want to do it in this series. You're 2-2. You're planning to go to the World Series. So you got to kind of forget about it. to a certain degree. But if you're up in a game and he comes up to bat, yeah, I'm sending a message.
Buzz the tower.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Got a fastball to your spine.
You can't do that. I mean, he could have seriously injured that guy.
Yeah.
If you watch the leg whip that he put on him, I mean, that is flat out dirty. And, you know, Yelich.
Yeah, Kristen Yelich.
You know, he called him a dirty player, and he's spot on, and he said he has a reputation for doing those things, and he does. It's not like the first time he's done something like that. So he has a history of doing things like that. That was flat out dirty. And, I mean, it's almost suspendable. That's the way it is. You know, you look at a guy like Vontaze Burfict, right? Taking cheap shots at guys. I know you can't stand him. I can't either, right? But you are going out of your way to injure a player. That's what Manny Machado did. So if you're serious about sending a message, you know, you suspend the guy for a game. And I know Major League Baseball won't do that. But that's how serious that play was. So if he broke his leg or broke his ankle or made him, you know, twist his ankle and he's out a couple games, now do you suspend Manny Machado?
It's a good question.
You know,
letting the result dictate your action?
Right. I mean, that's ridiculous. You just flat out went out of his way to injure a guy.
Yeah.
For what? I mean, he was out by a mile.
Right.
It wasn't even close. And he goes out of his way to flat out just kick the guy.
Machado said, I was trying to get over him in his foot. Yeah. If that's dirty, that's dirty. I don't know. Call it what you want. Yeah. Manny, we'll call it dirty.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no debating it. You know, it just isn't. You can say whatever you want. You weren't trying to do that. You're a liar.
Liar!
Exactly.
There you go. Real quick, on our way out, I'm sure folks have heard about this, but every single week we do a King Superfan football pick'em. Turn that all the way up, Steven. We did it in 2017, and we won the whole darn thing. Week one, we won it.
Yep.
Week three, we won it.
We took a week off. We had a bye week. Week two.
Week four, we won it. Week five, we won it. Week six, we won it.
That's unbelievable. It's good food. We got some more good food today.
We could actually take the rest of the season off, and the probability that any show could dig themselves out of the hole that we've put them in is highly improbable.
Yeah. D-Mac is getting shamed, by the way. I think it's coming up today, isn't it? Wait to hear what they have D-Mac say. The possibilities are endless when it comes to D-Mac.
No question. So the champions are going to sign
off.
You had
a great week. I mean, 13 wins.
Thank you. You had 12. The two highest numbers happen to share the same show.
We dominate. Exactly. I mean, is there any, you know, doubt to why we dominate? Just brain power, buddy. We got it.
The Drive is coming up next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank, business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.